Taking our Bibles this evening, please, and turning to the book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. I'm sorry, Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6. Romans, chapter 6. We'll begin our reading in verse 16. We're going to be discussing this evening. What is the purpose of surrender? What is the purpose of surrender? Romans 6. We begin our reading in verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Romans 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield yourselves members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you now are ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end unto everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's ask the Lord to bless as we look into His Word. Father, we do pray that You'd find us a surrendered people, that our hearts would be tender to the theme developed in Your Word this evening, and as we gather around this table this evening, Lord, that we gather with hearts of full surrender, desiring first and foremost to be in the will of God, to be rejoicing in the call of God, to be led by the Spirit of God, to be true to the Word of God. Lord, I pray that Your Word this evening would strike home to our hearts, that minds that have been perplexed over a theme that for some is very difficult would find ease tonight in joyfully proclaiming, I surrender all. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now we're going to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. We're all familiar with the song, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. The author of the song, I surrender all, found himself at a crossroads of life, a public school art teacher in the late 1800s. He was involved in evangelistic work. And at that particular crossroads of his life, he surrendered to the call of God and entered into the work of full-time evangelism. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Many people are fond of singing, I surrender all. But few believers, it seems, really understand the ramifications of what a full surrender happens to mean. As fewer messages are preached on topics like hell and sin and holiness, the influence of Christianity in our culture continues to diminish. According to Pew Research polls in 2007, 78.4% of U.S. adults identified with Christian groups. 7 years later, the percentage had fallen to 70.6%. Accounting for the overall growth of America's population, there are roughly 173 million Christian adults in the United States in 2014. Unfortunately, that's down from 188 million Christian adults in 2007. The studies continue to indicate that there's a falling off of influence of religion and a falling off of influence of Christianity. Reach Right Studios recently reported that unchurched Americans find church to be irrelevant. 49% could find no positive impact, and 37% could find no negative impact of the church on culture. The Rainer Group reported that 94% of American churches, are losing ground, falling backward in attendance and reaching out to their communities. The Barna Group continued the studies, repeatedly releasing studies indicating that the divorce rate among Christians. In fact, all kinds of lifestyle indicators show that Christians behave about like people that aren't Christians. Biblical Christianity calls upon Christ's followers to be radically different from the world. Romans 12, verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. We pause there and ask the question, how do you define worldliness? Because if you haven't come to some measure of definition, you'll not be able to defend against it. In a generation that scratches its head and asks, how am I to live? The Word of God says you're not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Peter 1, verses 15 and 16 remind us we're to be holy. Be holy as I am holy, saith the Lord. The servants of the Savior are called upon to surrender to His Lordship. It's always been a problem. It's been a problem since the disciples first walked with the Savior, this call to His Lordship. Jesus said to the disciples in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46, now why would you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I command you? Jesus expects His disciples to fully surrender to His will, and that's made evident by living His commandments. Ephesians 6 says in verse 6, they are to do the will of God from the heart. When we talk of surrender to the Savior, there are those who begin to feel like we've gotten off preaching and gone to meddling. The truth is, many are confused about the topic of surrender. Until you come to grips with the purpose of surrender, unfortunately, you'll be constrained to live a lukewarm Christian life. Until you're willing to surrender to the Lord, you put the future that He has for you at risk. I love the passage in Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 that says, for I know the thoughts, God says, that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And the only way we can enjoy that expected end that God has planned for us is for us to be surrendered fully to His will in our lives each day. Let's look briefly this evening at what the Bible speaks of when it talks about the purpose of surrender. We're going to begin by making a few acknowledgments. First this evening, let's acknowledge that surrender requires extreme dedication. Surrender requires extreme dedication. Take your Bibles with me and go back to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Surrender requires extreme dedication. Matthew chapter 16. We read in verse 24, then said Jesus to His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Jesus tells His disciples, even as Dr. Kevin reminded us this evening, that we ought to be willing to take up our cross and follow after Him. Now, taking up one's cross has become almost a cliche in American Christianity. After all, there are necklaces adorned with crosses and earrings adorned with crosses and bracelets adorned with crosses. There are cross decorations and cross pictures and even cross tattoos. But when the Lord spoke to His disciples about taking up the cross, He wasn't talking about going to work tomorrow with a little bit more of a happy spirit. He wasn't even talking about going on some type of new fad Christian diet. Taking up the cross painted a picture in the minds of the disciples that was radical. I once had a lady say to me, well, you know, the husband that I married, he's really the cross that I must bear. That is not at all what the Lord is saying in Matthew 16 and verse 24 when He says, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. Taking up the cross means death. It means death to self. Jesus is saying, if you're going to be my disciple, you need to be willing to die to self to live for me. People in the crowd when Jesus spoke were not thinking about ornaments or tattoos or pictures. They were thinking radically. They were thinking about a Roman instrument of torture that they'd seen often as it was paraded through Roman cities. For the Roman cross was that which kept society in line. It was the ultimate death penalty. In Romans chapter 6, we're reminded in verse 11, likewise, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul was able to say in 1 Corinthians 15, I die daily. Lord Jesus, think your thoughts through my mind. Speak your words through my lips. Live your life through my body. Every hour of every day. Lord Jesus, till I see you face to face. This past week in Noblesville, Jason Seaman became a hero. Middle school science teacher, took 3 bullets for his students and doubtlessly saved lives. He was willing to die for others, and he almost did. Jesus is saying to us when he says, take up your cross and follow me, he's saying, take it up completely. Surrender all, not half, not a quarter, not a portion. Be dedicated enough to die for me, because after all, I died for you. Be dedicated enough to make a decision as to the person you date, as to the place you work. Be dedicated enough as to that one that God has called you to be a witness unto. Be dedicated enough to pick up your Bible and read it. Be dedicated enough to share in the marketplace that you're a Christian. Be dedicated enough to die because I died for you. Take up your cross and follow me. Pastor Joseph Nardarkany, an Iranian, came to know Christ as Savior as a young man and sensed the call of God in his life to be an evangelist and a pastor. In 2006, Joseph was arrested. He was charged with apostasy in Iran and released 2 weeks later. In 2009, he was arrested again. Then on the 13th of November in 2010, it was announced that he would be hung for his faith unless he renounced Christianity. He had a decision to make. Die or renounce his faith. He wrote these words to those that loved him. I would like to inform all my beloved brothers and sisters that I'm in perfect health in the flesh and spirit. I am trying to do the best in my power to stay right with what I've learned from God's commandments. I need to remind my beloveds, though my trial has been so long, and in the flesh, my days will soon end, yet I have surrendered all to God's will. By God's grace, Pastor Joseph was released. Now, I don't believe that any of us are likely to be called upon to make a decision between life or death, facing an execution for the cause of Christ. Most of us will face trials as to our fidelity and our loyalty, even on a daily basis. There'll be a trial that will come as to whether that person should be your friend, and you'll have to rely upon the Lord who sticks closer than a brother. There'll be a trial of your faith as to how willing you'll be to stand for your faith before your family, and you'll have to remember that the Lord has said, when your father and mother forsake you, he will lift you up. There are some in this room who will have to forsake some habits that cause their testimony to be sullied so that they can say truly, my help comes from the Lord. The first acknowledgement is surrender requires extreme dedication. The second acknowledgement is this. Surrender means coming to Christ just as you are. Take your Bibles and turn back with me to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Many believers work hard to hide their sins, seldom confess any weakness. We practice foyer Christianity. You're familiar with foyer Christianity. How you doing? Fine. Just doing fine. Everything's always fine. We seek to put forward a sense of optimism and a sense of cheer. And so when we hear the invitation of the Lord, sometimes we believe that His invitation can only be answered when everything's fine. But as I open my Bible to Matthew chapter 11, I'm reminded in verse 20 that Jesus has been upbraiding the cities of Chorazin and Bethsaida because of the rejection of the gospel. And in verse 25, the Lord speaks to the Heavenly Father, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes." He's speaking of his disciples' reception of the gospel. "Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." And then these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Let me ask you something. Is the Lord speaking to the culturally elite, to the buffed and polished? Is he speaking to people who have their act together, their lives are all together pristine? No. Jesus is speaking to those who have tremendous needs. What a reassuring verse to understand that surrender means coming to Christ just as you are. The songwriter well says, "Just as I am, poor, wretched, blind. Sight, riches, healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee I'll find. O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve. Because thy promise, I believe. Just as I am, I come." It's sad how often we become encapsulated in our Christianity to the point that we never acknowledge our humanity and acknowledge our need. When it comes to the matter of full surrender, there's an acknowledgement we need to make. Surrender means coming to Christ just as I am, because if I'm waiting to be all that good, I will never come and I will never surrender. A little boy by the name of Willie was going to have a birthday party. His mother said she would host the party for him as long as he invited another neighbor boy to come. That neighbor boy's name was Tommy, and Willie did not like Tommy at all. His mom said, "You have to invite Tommy, and if you don't invite Tommy, I'm not going to let you have your birthday party." The next day when she checked with Willie, she said, "Did you invite Tommy?" And he said, "Yes, I did. In fact, I dared him to come." I think that's how some people think about the invitation that Christ has given. I dare you. Nothing could be further from the truth. The loving Savior invites us, encourages us to come, and He will give us rest, to come, and He will help. We're now ready to consider the purposes of surrender, at least some of the purposes of surrender, because when we talk about the purpose of surrender in God's Word, no doubt, there are many purposes that we could identify. Come with me to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. I want you to see with me, first of all, that surrender allows you to submit to Christ's authority. Surrender allows you to submit to Christ's authority. As we turn to Matthew 28, we discover that the disciples have been in the midst of an emotional tumult unlike anything we'll ever experience. Their lives had been threatened. They had scattered at the cross. They had gathered back together in the upper room. They had seen the resurrected Savior. They'd been told to go to Galilee. They went to Galilee, and there the Lord appeared to them. And as the Lord appears to them, these familiar words in Matthew chapter 28, we begin in verse 16. "Then the 11 disciples went away to Galilee into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. In every gathering, even of the Lord's disciples, even those who have understood the resurrection, there are some doubters in every worship service. Jesus came and spake unto them and said, All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." He gives them a very important message. He says, as he begins, "All power is given unto me." Those who surrender to the Lord are surrendering, knowing, acknowledging, believing that He is all powerful. You see, when we surrender to the Lord, we're saying, it doesn't make sense to run from your commandments. It doesn't make sense to run from your will. How can I, a finite man, run from that which the all-powerful,
All authoritative God has expected of me, full surrender, allows you to submit to Christ's authority. Full surrender eradicates the old man. Come with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, a remarkable passage we find in this chapter. Colossians chapter 3. We begin our reading in verse 1. Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things above and not on the things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affection and evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off these things, anger and wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him which created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and is in all. The Spirit of God declares in Colossians 3 and verse 3 that believers are dead. Wait a minute. I know I'm tired tonight, Pastor Phelps, but I'm not dead. Spiritually speaking, the Word of God declares that when Christ died, every true believer died with him. That the just penalty for sin, being death, has been fully and completely paid in the act of death by one. So the Spirit of God declares that every true believer is dead in Christ, and now our life is hid in him. When God looks at the believer, he sees Christ. This is, folks, an extravagant gift. Have you ever been given an extravagant gift? Let's say this evening, someone comes to your house and knocks on the door. They say, I've been thinking a lot about you, and you're my dear friend, and I just want to demonstrate how much I love you. In fact, tomorrow morning, a new car is going to be pulling up in your driveway. I've bought you a Camaro. I don't know why a Camaro, but why not? In fact, I've done more than that. I've moved some accounts around, and tomorrow I'm going to be going down to the bank and paying off your mortgage. And beyond that, just because I like you so much, I'm going to give you season tickets to the sporting venue of your choice, unless it's the Colts. No, it could be that too. It's just because I like you so much. How would you respond to such an extravagant gift? Why would you do that for me? I just can't believe you would be that kind. It's an uncomfortable place, folks, to be in someone's debt at such a level. And to know that it's impossible for me to ever pay back that gift that was so graciously given. That silly illustration doesn't even come close to comparing the debt that we're in to the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. When he died, we died with him. When he rose, we were raised with him. So that sin has no more power over us, and the wages of sin, that is death, has been taken away, and we have received the gift of God. That's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we surrender all to him, the Word of God tells us the Spirit of God allows that wonderful power of God to be known in our hearts so that the old man passes away and all things become new. Based on this wonderful position that we have in Colossians 3, the Spirit of God challenges us to respond by mortifying our members upon the earth, fornication and uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness. How can we not respond that way? You see, full surrender eradicates the old man. And surrender allows you and allows me to live as Jesus intended. Surrender allows you to live, allows me to live as Jesus intended. Yes, there are times when the Spirit of God knocks upon the doors of our heart and reminds us to be back in conformity to God's will. The Apostle Paul himself would say in 1 Corinthians 15, and verse 31, I die daily. He's saying, I'm making a conscientious decision on a daily basis to yield myself to the Lord. Jesus said in John 10 and verse 10, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You see, there really are only two kinds of Christians, surrendered Christians and stubborn Christians. Because so few know the blessing of full surrender, they fail to know the blessing of daily victory in Christ. Full surrender, yes. God's commandment for every believer is full surrender. Full surrender allows you to submit to the authority of Christ. All power is given unto me. Full surrender eradicates the old man. Full surrender allows you to live as God intended. And so we ask, have you really surrendered all? Let's stand together, please. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed and no one looking around. Dear Father, as we gather before you this evening, we gather this evening with the memorial before us that testifies to the full surrender of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, upon the cross of Calvary. That one would die for all. And Lord, this evening as we gather around this table, I pray that you would help us to gather with hearts that are sincere. Oh God, that we would cry out with the desire for full surrender. Lord, in this room this evening, I would pray that you'd move in the heart of some young person, some adult, some senior saint, that they no longer stubbornly walk away from your will, but they would yieldingly run into the arms of the one who said, come unto me, all ye that are laboring and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Lord, that they'd understand that in the confession of sin, there's a burden removed. And we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is perpetually cleansing us from all sin. What a wonderful place to be. And so, Lord, through full surrender, find us this evening, desiring to live for you, so as to please you, so as even to hear well done, good and faithful servant.